The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you to the very end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. The bulletin is actually incorrect. The baptism comes now, after the reading of the Gospel. And what a wonderful place for it to come, because we just read the Gospel where Jesus told us to go baptize, and now we get to do it. Isn't that great? The Lord tells us to do something, and we can do it right now. But that's the way it ought to be all the time. So, if you'll turn in your green Lutheran Book of Worship, which is in the pew rack in front of you, to page 121, and stand, and I'll meet Michael and Kenny and Janet and the God folks at the back. You can stand, and everybody can turn around and face us so you can participate. Do you have who do you have coming up with you? Is this your brother?
Hi, Mike.
And Kelly. Okay. Oh, she's standing in for your sister. Okay, good. And you're sponsoring your husband. Yeah, I guess you are. Just to let everybody know, Kenny, the baby, Janet has been attending church here for some time and wanted to have her child baptized. And I'm one of those mean guys that says, "I don't do babies. You have to come here to all the classes or you don't get your baby done. And you have to bring your husband with you." And Michael came kicking and screaming. And about the third week, he says, "You know, I ought to have this done too." So we're going to baptize both of them this morning. Page 121. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ, and we live with him and with his people. We grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. This is your line.
I present Kenneth Vita to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
Michael, do you desire to be baptized?
I do.
That's the right answer. In Christian love, Janet, you and Michael have presented your child, Kenny, for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring him to the services of God's house and teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As he grows in years, you should place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for his instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of his baptism and in communion with the church, he may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations? If so, say, "I do."
I do.
And Michael, in Christian love, you have presented yourself, and Janet is presenting you. Maybe you should hold that there. You want to play with something? Here. You want to play with that? There you go. You have presented your husband, Michael, for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully care for him and help him in every way as God gives you opportunity. Did you hear that, Michael?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. That he may bear witness to the faith we profess, and that living in the covenant of his baptism and in communion with the church, he may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to keep him straight?
I sure do.
All right. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. by the baptism of his own death and resurrection. Your beloved Son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death, and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that those who are here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sins of all those who are cleansed by this water and bring them forth as inheritors of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask all of you to answer with Janet and Michael. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? I do. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered and died. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the life, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay, man, now you're going to really scream. Let me see that boy. Oh, I know. I know. I know. It'll be over in just a second, unlike most things in the world. Kenneth Vito is baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There you go. Stick that ball back in my mouth. I need it. Where'd the bottle go? Good daddy. Good daddy. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon Kenneth Vito, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Kenneth, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross that from henceforth you will know the Lord, the power of his resurrection, and the partnership of his sufferings. Amen. I anoint your eyes that you may see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I anoint your ears that you may hear God's word. I anoint your mouth that you may speak God's praise. I anoint your hands that you may do God's work in the world. Give me that hand, boy.
Where is it? Under here.
We can't have one hand holy and the other one not. I anoint your feet that you may walk in his path. And I anoint your heart that Jesus may dwell there forever. Amen. Candle.
Kenny, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Okay. Now, you need to take the baby. Can you hold that? Because he's next. Can you hold this? Thank you. All right, Dad. Should you just kneel down here? Just kneel. Michael is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon Michael, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Michael, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, that from henceforth you may know the Lord, the power of his resurrection, and the partnership of his suffering. Amen.
Your life so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with favor upon the look with kindness and favor upon the father and mother of this child, Kenny. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for Kenny. Strengthen them in their own baptism, so that they may share eternally with him the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Through baptism, God has made these new brothers members of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming words to all the world. We welcome
you into the Lord's family. We receive you as the fellow members of the body of Christ, children of the same Heavenly Father, and workers with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Kenny. Don't forget his message. Peace be with you, Michael. Peace be with you. Now, if this is the embarrassing part, you have to turn around and look at everybody. Okay. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to ask Janet if she'll walk with me up the aisle here so everybody can be seated, so you can all eyeball Kenny. Nobody wants to look at you, Michael, but everybody wants to see the baby. So this is Kenneth Vito Bologna, and his mother Janet will be joining the church, I hope, on June 9th. That's when we're going to receive new members. You know, her only complaint was that Michael gets in by baptism, she had to go to all those confounded classes.
There's already one, right?
That's right. So welcome to you both. You can be seated now. Okay, short sermon today. If you believe that, I have a bridge to sell you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is Holy Trinity Sunday, and it's probably better to be brief about that than long, because after all, who can understand it? It isn't something to understand. The good news is you're not supposed to understand it, because human reason and logic can't make any sense of it. I mean, how can something be three and one at the same time? It makes no sense whatsoever, and it isn't supposed to. It's a mystery of our faith. I came here just a little over 2 years ago, but this is my third Holy Trinity Sunday with you. And the first year I was here, I pulled out my best meditations on the Holy Trinity and put it together into a sermon for the ages. I was so proud of that sermon, because, you know, for so many years I was a military chaplain on ships. And I could have services, you know, for 10 minutes here and 20 minutes there. And believe it or not, I never got to preach long. See, it's been stored up all these years, Helen. And I just can't wait to get it out now. Anyway, I wasn't able to discourse at any length on the Holy Trinity. So, man, I gave it to you 3 years ago. And Sam Thompson came up to me after that service and said, "Pastor, that is one of the best sermons I have ever heard. I think I finally understand the Trinity." And I threw that sermon away. Because you know what? If the effect of that sermon was to make a guy as otherwise intelligent and articulate as Sam think that he understood the Trinity. I had led him astray. I don't want you to think you understand the Trinity, because if you think you understand the Trinity, you don't. Nobody does. And the reason we confess it is because we don't have any choice. It's the only thing we can say, so that Scripture speaks through our mouth the truth it professes, and we're not supposed to understand it. The closest we can come to it is some kind of a picture where you understand, and you've heard me say this before. God is not one like a number in arithmetic. God is one like a triangle in geometry. And that's about all you can say as a picture. So you can sort of visualize how something can be one and three at the same time. It's like a lot of stuff in our faith, so this shouldn't surprise us. And so, once again, good people, those of you who have done this with me before, let's go through the litany. Is God one or is God three?
Yes.
Is Jesus God or is Jesus man?
Yes.
That water back there, is that just water or is that the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
When we do communion, is that bread and wine or is that the body and blood of Christ?
Yes.
Are you a saint or are you a sinner? Oh, I'm so glad you got that last one right. Because Bonnie Strand, when I said, "Are you a saint?" she said, "Uh-huh." I hadn't finished yet, Bonnie. You got to get to the other part. Saint and a sinner at the same time. You go, well, this doesn't make any sense. How can something be one and three at the same time? How can Jesus be God and man at the same time? How can that water have the Holy Spirit in it? And how can that bread and wine have the body and blood of Christ in it? And how can I be a saint or and a sinner at one and the same time? I don't know. This is what Scripture tells us. And we simply confess the mysteries of God and don't pretend to understand Him or His ways, because God says, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I am not like you, God says. I am the Creator. You are the creatures. In our readings for today, and I hope you noticed, by the way, Wayne, my hat is off to you for getting all the way through that first reading. For a minute there, I thought we were going to have to call halftime after day three and towel you down. Did you notice that first reading was really, really long? I mean, we read that whole creation story. That is the longest reading from the lectionary in the church here. And did you also notice that the epistle reading and the gospel reading for this morning were very short? They are the shortest readings in the church here. Sort of makes up for that big long one from Genesis. But there's a reason we have these readings picked. Because in the first reading from Genesis, that wonderful creation hymn, we have the principle laid down, what I've just been talking about, that God is more than we can think or imagine. Now, when you read the word G-O-D in English, you need to know that that translates the Hebrew word Elohim. There are three words in Hebrew translated G-O-D in your English Bible. One is El, E-L, masculine, God, He. Hold on to your seats, men. The second one is Eloah, E-L-O-A-H, which means God, She. Read it and weep. And then there is Elohim. Now, if El is God, He, and Eloah is God, She, guess what Elohim is? Yeah, you're close with we and us. It's a plural form. Elohim is plural. Now, why would one God have a plural name? Because God is communal being. And within God are those qualities that we identify as male and female, even though God, of course, has no gender, because God created gender and He doesn't have any gender. We say He and Him and Father because we need a human way to talk about God. But, of course, God has no gender. And when He makes us, He makes man, we get two kinds of man. What are they? Male and female. Right. So, Carl, I hate to break it to you, buddy, but you're only half a man without Margaret. You knew that already. I know she reminds you. And Margaret, you're only half a man without Carl. Because man is male and female. Takes two of us. Because man in Hebrew is not a word of gender. It's a word for the human race. And by the way, for you single people, this does not mean you have to get married. Aren't you really, Jim? It doesn't mean you have to get married. It means we all long to belong to something. We long to associate with other human beings in some kind of way. Because it's the way we're made. Because God is plural being. God is communal being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God. And so He has made us like Him. We need each other. In the second reading from 2 Corinthians, by the way, these are the last verses of the Corinthian correspondence. The letter ends. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the response is, oh, thank you. We said that at the beginning of the service. We say that at the beginning of this service every week. I say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And you say, because we're having a conversation in the Word. We're quoting Scripture back and forth to each other. That's what the whole liturgy is. So that together we can give one voice in praise to God. And I greet you with the triune name, which we hear again in the Gospel reading this morning. Jesus said, baptize them, listen very closely, in the name, singular, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say baptize them in the names, but in the name. The name of the one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I need to tell you that in Greek, the word translated and is not like our English word and, because our English word and usually means plus something else, right? Makes. So, one and one. This is not a trick question, people. One and one are. Oh, so glad they got that right. One and one, because we, in English, we take one thing and we add it to another thing and we get some third thing, right? One and one. Well, that's not God's arithmetic. In God's arithmetic, one and one and one are one. Because that word just means there's an intimate connection between them. It doesn't mean plus. So Father and Son and Holy Spirit have one reality. There is the one God with the one name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, you're saying, I got it, Pastor. I got it. I don't understand it, but I see where you're driving here. God is not one like a number in arithmetic. God is one like a triangle in geometry. And there's a plural name for the single God. I got it. Thank you very much, Pastor. What's all this got to do with me? Well, this is where the rubber hits the road, because if it doesn't have anything to do with you and the way you live and who you are and what you're here for and what you're supposed to be doing, what good is it? You see, in that first reading this morning, you heard that we were all created in the image of this one God who is yet three. And you heard me say a minute ago that part of what image of God means, in fact, the first and primary thing that image of God means, is that it takes two of us to image God, male and female. And that, to some of your great relief, that doesn't mean everybody has to get married. It just means that we belong to one another. And more than that, we long to belong to one another, because that's the way we're made. We have been created in the image of the Holy Trinity, three who so love each other they are one. And so we have been created communal beings, and we long to belong to one another. We were meant to live in community. God did not make us to be isolated, autonomous individuals who have a right to our own opinions. God made us to be communal beings who have an obligation to serve one another in love. And so, Jesus said to his disciples and to you, this is my commandment. You love one another as I have loved you. That's an important caveat. As I have loved you. That means I can't make up and decide what love is. I have to look at how Jesus loved me. And you know what I discover when I do that? That it was while I was still his enemy that he laid down his life for me. That he just sacrificed everything for me, even when I hated him. So I have to love you like that? I don't even like you. Oh, what a relief then to find out. You've heard me say this before. The Bible never commands you to like anybody. It commands you to love. Because in the Bible, love doesn't have very much to do with how you feel. It has everything to do with how you act. That's how God can command you to love people. It doesn't matter if you don't like me. You have to love me. And the way you love me is you treat me the way you want to be treated, even if I'm your enemy. Wow, Pastor, I really wish you'd stuck to that philosophical stuff, because we were doing fine. I was getting all that about the triangle and all that, and now you're telling me I got to love this guy sitting next to me? Oh, boy. That's what the Holy Trinity means. We've been created in that image. We long to belong, and not just to the people we like. We are commanded to love even the people we don't like, which means to treat them the way we want to be treated and to do the good for the sake of the other, even if we don't want to and even if it's killing us, because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. So you love one another as I loved you. I bore the cross for you. I expect you to do that for one another. How else is the world going to believe that God is love if we don't love each other? God is love. It says that in the Bible, doesn't it? It says that twice, as a matter of fact, in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 8, verse 16. If you don't believe me, check with Don Snow afterwards. He knows the Bible backwards and forwards. He'll tell you if I misquoted that or not. Right? Did I misquote that? I did. Oh, thank God. Yeah, well, it says that twice. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16, God is love. Now, that can only be said of God. Can't be said of you, because it's an ontological statement. A statement of the essence of something's being. I can't say Margaret is love. I can only say Margaret loves Carl. I can't say I am love. I can only say this is what I love and that's what I love and this is who I love. Of no human person can it be said that you are love. We can only say what it is and who it is we love. Only of God can it be said he is love, because within God there is relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have loved each other from all eternity. It is of the very essence of God that he is love, because within God there is love. God didn't have to make us to love something. He was already full of it. And this is why you need a Trinitarian God and not a Unitarian God. Because if God is one like a number in arithmetic, then love is not of his essence. He had to make something to love, which means that thing is always going to be less than him, and the love is always going to be from the greater to the lesser. I want to tell you something. There's nothing worse than to spend an eternity or even part of a lifetime with somebody that you love more than they love you. Personally, I wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes with somebody whose love for me was less than my love for them. Wouldn't choose to do that. Might have to do it, but wouldn't choose to do it. And so if God is one like a number in arithmetic, then love is something he thought of later, and it's not of his being. You know that old thing, God made us because he was lonely? I don't think so. In fact, I know not. God wasn't lonely at all. God's been partying for all eternity in love with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He just wanted to share that joy, so He made you, not because He was lonely, but He just couldn't resist the outpouring of what He is. And so we came into being, not because He needed us. He doesn't need us. He's got Himself. You need each other. This is who you are. This is why you were made. This is what you're here for. You don't need to ask that question anymore. Why did God put me here? I'll tell you the answer. God put you here so you will love the person sitting next to you the way you love yourself. Well, I don't love myself very much. Yes, you do. You're still breathing, aren't you? Eating and all that. Oh, I hate myself. No, you don't. That's just self-obsession and ego and self-love turned in on itself. You love yourself plenty or you wouldn't still be on the planet. And the only way to really appreciate yourself, which is what you mean, I don't appreciate myself very much or I don't like the way I am. And you shouldn't if you're not loving the person next to you, because that's what you were put here for. And if I will get about the business of my destiny, which is to love the people around me the way Jesus loved me, I'm going to feel real good about myself real fast. Now, if you don't feel good about who you are, it's because you're not being who you are. You want to feel better? You need to do better. You need to be what God made you to be. You need to live in service to the other. Because that's where your happiness lies. I'm sorry, but the rules have been fixed. That's what you're here for. And if you're not doing it, you're not going to be very happy here. Oh, you can get happy doing other stuff for a while. And you can try everything you want out there to make you happy. And sometimes it will and sometimes it won't. But there's only one road to true joy in this life. And that is to be what God made you to be in His image. To belong to Him and to one another, and to serve one another in love as He served you. That's why St. Paul says of us, the church, there's one body of Christ, just one. It doesn't matter what the name on the door is. People say, how come there's so many different churches? There aren't. There's only one. Because people get confused. And we're all members of the same body. And just as if I cut this little finger off, it will die separated from my body, so you cannot have any faith at all, love yourself or anybody else properly if you separate yourself from that to which you belong. And what is it that you belong to? By baptism, you belong to the body of Christ. We just made Kenny and Michael members of not just this body that meets in this church, but the body of Christ. And so now they belong. And all of you who have been baptized belong by virtue of your baptism. You were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You were put under the care and protection and under the power of God. That's what that means. And if you want to be happy, you have to live out that destiny. And so St. Paul says of us, since we've been baptized, there is no longer any Jew or Greek. You can't make any more ethnic and racial distinctions. There is no longer, he says, any male or female. We can't make any gender distinctions. There is no longer any slave or free. We cannot make economic or political or social distinctions because we are all one in Christ Jesus. What did I say about God's arithmetic? 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 makes one. We are one body of Christ, and our head is Christ Himself. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. That's how you get to be happy. And even that means love your enemies. This has a special meaning for me right now. And if you'll forgive the personal story, this month in the Fisherman's Net newsletter, the Pastor's Prelude is about, in part, my upcoming trip to Vietnam. It's a big deal for me. So you'll forgive me if I talk about it a little bit. When I was 19 years old, I'd been in Vietnam, I don't know, about 6 months, I guess. I was a Marine infantryman. I didn't like God, and I didn't like you, if you liked God. And there was a guy in my infantry company who was very devout Roman Catholic. And a priest came up there where we were to say Mass because it was Christmas. And this fellow asked me, he said, "Hey, TC, you want to go to Mass?" That's what they call me then. Don't you call me that. TC. "Hey, TC, you want to go to Mass?" And I'll tell you something, people. If anybody else in the entire universe had asked me to go to any kind of religious function at all, well, it's unrepeatable what I would have said. But since he asked me, and so I knew him to be devout and sincere in his faith, and how did I know that? By the way he conducted himself. I went to Mass with him. I want you to make a little mental note here, good people. The primary reason that anyone identifies with any church whatsoever is because somebody they know and whose life they have observed has asked them to show up. That's the reason. So you've got an obligation to be what you've been made to be, because it's the only witness Jesus has in the world that he loves it. So back to my buddy who invited me to go to Mass, I said, "Yes, I will go with you." I regretted it the whole way, but I went, and I'll never forget that Catholic chaplain during the prayers of the church prayed for our enemies. My first thought was I ought to shoot that guy right now. And my parents, as a child, had dragged me to church and Sunday school, kicking and screaming. But they got me there. And I remembered from somewhere in my past that Jesus had said that. You should love your enemies. And that popped up in my head. Well, you know, Jesus said that, love your enemies. And my immediate response was, "Yeah, but he didn't mean it. This is not what he meant." And another little voice, that little still, small voice, you know, that God puts in your heart, said, "Oh, yeah, this is exactly what he meant." And that began a process in me, the end result of which, I am your pastor. And I want to tell you something. God didn't put you here for any other reason in the world than to love your enemy and those who hate you and persecute you and your neighbors, whether they're nice or not, as yourself. Because it's the only witness God has in the world to who he is and what he's about is the people he has made in his image. So if we'll be what he made us to be, and serve those around us with the self-giving, sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, whether we want to or not, whether we like them or not. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is not just some philosophical riff that some Greek theologians came up with in the 4th century. It is a reality that anybody can see because they see it in you. What does St. John say? No one's seen God at any time. But if we live in love, God abides in us. And his love is manifested through us. You want the world to believe in Christ? You want the world to come to Jesus? Then you and I have to be what we were made to be. The images of the Holy Trinity. The image of love.